Hey guys, welcome back to Deeper Than Most. I'm your host, DJ.
And I'm your host, Sav.
So, today is...
Episode 4. We're already on episode 4.
How y'all feel about that?
So, yeah, it came up quick. So, today is going to be a super heavy episode compared to our other ones.
I guess you could say that.
Last episode, we started a new series, and that's our mythology mashup series, which is going to happen once a month. We'll kind of cover like origin stories from different mythology origins, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that once a month. And then the one that we're starting right now for this episode is our 50 most notorious crimes, which is basically the top crime in each state, like true crime. Yeah. So it could be a missing person's case. It could be a murder case, typically revolving around that, or like an unsolved crime. So that's what we're doing, and that is the new series that we're starting. So,
also, disclaimer, too, the disclaimer, if anyone is triggered or offended, please let us know.
Yes. So, yeah, these are going to be more graphic because this is going to be true crime. So this is our first true crime episode, and we are going to do this in alphabetical order. So we are going to do one crime from each state. So if there's a state that you're... you know, looking forward to, keep an eye out for it. But it is going to be in alphabetical order, so you are going to have to, like, wait for each episode.
Sure.
But we got you guys. They're going to be coming. We're going to be cranking them out, like, every week.
Even the Green River Killer?
I don't know if that's on the list. I don't remember.
It might not be, but if you guys want to hear it, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely taking requests. So the case that we are going to be jumping into today is the first state, which is Alabama. And this is the disappearance of Sherry Lynn Marler. And this case is from 1984. So it's kind of far back.
A lot of weird stuff happening back then. Dude.
In the 80s. The 80s was definitely a weird time. Oh, and another disclaimer. If you're watching this on YouTube, hi, hello, how are you? So, we have this wonderful backdrop. We got a little setup going. We have our little lava lamp, our little podcast mic, which we will be using soon in future episodes. But right now, we're trying to get everything figured out, get everything set up. But this is kind of what we're working with so far.
Yep.
So, tell us what you guys think about it. If you guys like it, is it too much?
Ideas?
Yeah, like what do you want to see in the background? Like. Yeah. Because that white wall, it just wasn't doing it for me. The white wall was not it. Yeah.
Kind of scary.
So, yeah, we just wanted to go ahead and shout out that if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're just listening to this audio-wise, I suggest you go hop on YouTube and watch it.
Do it now.
And give us your feedback. So, we want to go ahead and jump into our intro topics. And I believe we only have 2 for today.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Couldn't get to mine.
Yeah. So, we only have 2 for today. And it's going to be pretty quick. So, that way we can go ahead and jump into the case. Because it's kind of a detailed one. It was hard to find details. But we made it work. And right now, we're snacking on some Pocky. Chocolate Pocky. Shout out to Pocky. If you know what Pocky is, you're a real one.
Yo, if you know... try the matcha Pocky.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then we're also drinking like chocolate milk and orange juice. So
that's not disgusting.
Disclaimer.
Orange juice is better than apple juice. Let's fight
about it. Let's not.
Let's fight about it. People drink it out of glasses with like ice in it.
That's a stretch. Hold on. Okay. All right. You want to go ahead and jump into the first intro topic?
So, guys. There's apparently this company called Razer, who apparently worked with Bose and Amazon, which is, if they were my business partners, I would love it. And they created this new type of glass, like they're a new type of glasses, and they're called Anzu Smart Glasses.
And this happened like 2 weeks ago.
Dang, that's kind of cool.
They're really, really new.
Smart glasses. Mm-hmm. So they retail for like $200 at the moment.
Which, honestly, if you ask me... to be smart glasses, like the smart watches, for example. I don't remember how much smart watches retail for. I personally never got one.
They're stupid.
Yeah, they're pointless to me, but I know that they're expensive, and I can only imagine glasses. Like, yeah. What do they do? You know? So, but we're about to kind of jump into some of the things that they do, so you'll get an idea of why the price is what it is. But I think that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, they're not made by Apple. That's probably why they're cheaper. Yeah. But let's not get into that.
So, it says that they provide truly wireless audio. And they do this by integrating speakers, like, in the temple of the glasses. So, like, you know how you see on the Spy movies when they touch their glasses and it's literally like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the sound is, like, coming out, like, into their ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool, though, because... If you think about it, like, for safety reasons, if, you know, a lot of people walk on the street with their headphones in.
Right.
Personally, I do. And, you know, that can be dangerous at times because you're not aware of your surroundings. But that's actually kind of cool. It's like a safety feature because, yeah, you can, like, hear it. It's right in your ear. But right. At the same time, it's not, like, in your ear. Right. So you're still, like, able to hear what's going on around you if you need to, exactly. Which I like.
Exactly. And they come in small and large sizes. They come in round and square frame options. So, I mean, if you want to be stylish and do whatever, you can do that, I guess.
That's nice that there's options.
And there apparently are prescription options available, which is interesting. Because, like, how do you... you just go and pick out your... like.
I guess. I think you would pick a small or a large size.
Right.
And then you would pick a round or a square frame.
Yeah.
But then you can ask for the glasses piece... to be prescription or not. And of course you would have to get an eye exam and then they would tell you what kind of prescription you need and blase blase. So yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
It gets cooler because they have a touch responsive tab button, so it literally is like the Spy movies.
Yeah.
And they're water resistant and they automatically turn off when they're folded,
which blew me away because folding glasses, like, that in itself is cool, but the fact that it does automatically turn off when you fold them is a plus because you don't have to worry about turning it off. That literally saves battery, which is always a plus. So, it's a win-win-win situation for me and the water resistant.
Oh, yeah.
Which, obviously, that makes sense. It'd be dumb if they weren't because glasses are on your face and your face... you know, is around, like, rain and, you know, like, obviously it needs to be, it needs to be water resistant.
You know, your face.
Exactly. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and jump into our second intro topic. And this is the SpaceX disaster. So 2 weeks ago, SpaceX successfully landed one of their rockets, which is awesome. And kind of groundbreaking. Like, very seldom do... rocket launches like and successfully it's a lot of like hit and miss, but it's a lot more miss than hits, so that's really cool. But unfortunately, just after the rocket had landed, it exploded.
Shit.
Literally like minutes later.
Oh, that's trash.
No, like after it landed.
Oh damn.
Like it had just performed a successful landing.
Uh-huh.
And then I think they were going to go ahead and start another test on it, and it just exploded. So, this happened in Boca Chica, Texas.
Boca Chica.
I like that name. sounds lit over there.
What?
This was, so the rocket that exploded was Starship NS. Wow. Damn, am I dyslexic?
Are you?
I don't think so. Anyway.
Robert Paul guys, y'all think she's dyslexic or not?
No. So, this was Starship SN10. It had just successfully performed a vertical launch and landing.
Mm. Wow.
So, that basically...
So, it just got there,
Yeah. Mm. It also had just performed a 6-minute test flight prior to this. So, honestly, they were kind of, like, working the machine.
Yeah.
So,
that would be wild.
It was probably on its last leg for the day.
Mm. Hey, that's no shout out to people that got one leg. We just talking.
Wait, what did you say?
That's what you said. on his last leg.
Oh, okay. Damn, I'm slow. So this was their third prototype launch to explode. So this wasn't the first time that something like this has happened.
Stupid ass.
But it's bound to happen. I mean, it's bound to happen, though.
For sure, yeah. Test, you know, trial and error.
Right. So our buddy's back in the picture again. Elon Musk. Mm. So apparently, Elon Musk tweeted, RIP SN10 honorable discharge. So he also had very mixed feelings about this due to the SN10 doing better at vertical launch than previous like prototypes.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, this is a win, but yeah, at the same time, this kind of sucks because
like
we made it this far, but it's still a failure at the end of the day.
Right.
Which, I mean, I understand how he's feeling. Like, it'd be like that, but we'll get there eventually. It's just not our time yet. So the test model was intended for carrying humans and not tons, but 100 tons of cargo for future missions to Mars and the moon.
I mean, look, dude.
And that's like jumping back to episode two. Look, like,
if I can go to space, if I can go to the moon and get a slice of pizza and enjoy it, I'm with it. I don't care.
Right.
Like, me and my homeboy.
But the fact that they're already testing to be able to send humans and cargo to the moon, like, fuck the cargo. Humans.
Yeah, people, like.
Like, that's super crazy. Like, right now, they're testing for that right now.
Just, like, think about that, though. Like, if they.
And they've been testing, like, for it, apparently.
Hell yeah. They'd be. Listen, man. They be doing all type
of. This is nothing new.
They do all type of weird ass shit, like, that we don't know about, but y'all know how that go. Yeah, if they were to do that, like, if they were to figure out how to make travel between the planets faster.
Yeah. Oof, that's a long time coming.
Just imagine how cool it would be to say, oh, I'm a citizen on Earth and Mars if both planets survive.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Kind of cool.
Really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Interstellar travel. I fuck with it. So apparently Elon Musk wants to make space travel a normal thing. And we were just saying this 2 seconds ago. He also wants to make it more affordable for regular people, which I like that idea.
I fuck with it.
For people like us, because we want to, you know, do that. But there's just certain things that certain people shouldn't have access to, you know?
Definitely.
I just would hate for, like, people that don't care to take care of this planet here, go to the next planet and just, like, you know, destroy it just like we've done to this one. Nah. That's doing too much.
Right.
So a Japanese billionaire named Yusaku Maezawa. I'm sorry, I know I'm mispronouncing that. I know I am.
I mean, you did.
I tried.
Sounds okay to me.
Yeah, so this billionaire from Japan, he plans to fly around the moon in this starship that exploded. So, you know, once they get it up and running and working and functioning enough to where it is, like, ready to go, he plans to fly around the moon in the starship in 2023, which is in 2 years. We're already in 2021. Like,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me I can go to Mars before I graduate college?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe. That's kind of lit.
Me too, before I graduate.
Yeah.
But not only is he wanting to do it, but he also stated that he wants to take 8 people from around the world to join him on his trip around the moon, or to the moon, for free.
That sounds kind of scary, dude.
That sounds fun. What?
Nah, because why just those?
I mean, of course. Well, no, it's just giving 8 people the chance of a lifetime.
Okay.
You know, like.
I got you.
Yeah, for free, just to go. Like, okay. I'd do it.
I'm down.
If the opportunity came my way, but, you know, who's to say it would? It wouldn't.
I'm always open for scientific testing. I won't say nothing.
Right.
I swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free and it's easy to use.
There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or computer, making it the best user experience around.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more, making it so you don't have to upload to each individual platform.
And the best thing about it, you can make money straight from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
So please, download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. And that's anchor.fm, spelled A-N-C-H-O-R.fm.
So what are you doing? Download the free Anchor app now.
Hey guys, and welcome back. We are covering the most notorious case in Alabama. Greenville, Alabama, that is. You want to tell them about this case, babe?
Yeah, so this one is about a 12-year-old girl named Sherry Lynn Marler. And she was 12 years old at the time of her disappearance, so this is a missing persons case. And at the time of her abduction, she was 5'4 and about 100 to 120 pounds.
I like it.
She was taller than me. I'm only 5'2.
Oh. Well.
Yeah. Huh. So she also loved all things that involved farming. She was born on August 18th in 1971 in Greenville, Alabama, which is where the case takes place as well. She was considered a tomboy to most people in her town, and she also knew how to ride a tractor. Yeah. She was very big on farming,
you know,
in general.
How cool that sounds in a small town. Oh, she can ride a tractor.
Mm-hmm. At 12, too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, the day of her disappearance, at approximately 9 in the morning, which is where our story starts, or I guess not our story, this is where our timeline starts, yeah, is at 9 a.m., Sherry raced outside to join her stepdad, Raymond, in partaking into his morning errands. She and her stepfather were on their way to First National Bank, and that's where they went, so when they arrived there, she had told him that she was thirsty, and right across the street was a Chevron. So he gave her $1 and he said, go ahead and go to the Chevron and get yourself something to drink. So she was last seen crossing the street to get to Chevron
Last seen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last seen crossing the street, to Chevron from the First National Bank.
Hmm.
And also, when Raymond returned back to his truck, he had noticed that Sherry had not returned. But keep in mind, when he went to the bank, he was in the bank for 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
And in that time, you know, Sherry did not come back. Like, 15 minutes is quite a long time.
It's quite a time.
Especially when she's going, like, right across the street, getting a soda and coming back.
You would think he'd be like, go there, come straight back instead of...
Yeah. Or wait by the truck or in the truck. But at least, like, come back. Like, come come into the bank with me.
Right.
You know, where I know it's safe and I've got eyes on you.
He could have just told her, no, we'll get your
after
you leave the bank.
Exactly. So, when he did get to his truck, he realized that she had not returned.
But, yeah. So, like you said, he had waited, like, 15 minutes. Well, he was gone for, like, 15 minutes. So, what do you think a kid's supposed to do in that time, right?
Right, yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. And so, he returned to his truck and waited for it says, over 25 minutes.
Yeah. But
he wasn't panicking. Like, he was just sitting there.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yeah, like...
The fact that you can... For one, keep in mind. For one, you were in the bank for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a long amount of time. But then, not only do you leave the bank, you sit in your car outside of the bank for 25 more minutes.
Not even, like, wondering.
Not looking, not panicking, not being concerned. Like, 40 minutes have passed.
Right.
That's almost an hour. Do you not think something's wrong? Like,
did you really think this kid...
Does that not add up? I don't know. maybe it's just me, but that does not add up to me at all.
It doesn't make sense.
That's too much time, but go ahead.
So after this supposed waiting he did.
For half a damn hour.
Right. He decided to finally check Chevron, the local tractor shop, and feed store.
Which were both close by, right?
Yeah, they're like.
I think the tractor shop and the feed store were like in the same parking lot complex.
Yeah, they're all like in the same area.
Vicinity,
so
yeah.
Going boom, bang, you know.
Right.
Asking Stevie and Dave if they seen her.
So a quick little search.
Yeah. And so then he even, well, lastly, which is the weirdest part to me, he calls her mother, well, goes to check in with her mother, Betty, who's working at Waffle House. And so he calls her, he's like,
hello. And Betty had left for work earlier that morning.
Everybody's
Sherry was still asleep. Exactly. Betty had left for work around 7 in the morning, I believe. It was 7.
Yeah, it was like 7 o'clock. And she, like, you know, didn't want to wake her up since she had already had to give up her bed.
Yeah, so she didn't even get to, like, you know, interact with her that day.
No. And she's like, no, but her mom is no better, I swear, because, like, she goes, no, I haven't seen her since that morning, but that's it.
Right, like, that doesn't help. And you're not even concerned?
Yeah, there's no
concern. Maybe she was.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say you're not concerned, because we don't know. There's not a lot of information on that, but I don't know. I would have been like, forget, have I seen her? She was with you, you know?
Have you seen her?
Yeah, where's my kid? No.
Right. So, around town, people like to call Sherry the little farmer.
Mm-hmm. Because she loved farming.
Yeah, she just loved doing farm stuff, which is cute. You know, a little tomboy running around riding tractors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it gets later on in the day, and nothing comes up. You haven't heard from her, so it's like...
Right, time's passing.
Right. It's like 11:46 at this point. Remember, they left the house at like 9.
Right.
So, here at... Yeah, 11:46 a.m. on June 6, 1984, 12-year-old little farmer was reported missing.
I wonder who... Wait, who reported her missing?
Yeah, it didn't say.
Oh. That's interesting.
Yeah, it didn't say.
I wonder if it was Raymond.
Right.
Could have been.
So, the report goes out, and now we're looking at the first month of her being gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, they didn't do, like, a massive search, but volunteers were sent out by the family and her friends and everything to, you know, look for her.
Because,
like, you know, where is Sherry? You know, it's been so long. So
how long?
Yeah, just looking.
She's MIA.
Right. So, countless missing persons posters were printed and spread around every city, like neighboring cities around the town, you know, looking for her. And so,
trying to spread the word. You got to spread awareness. And that's all you can do in these situations. Because in missing persons cases, in missing persons cases, it's very detrimental that you pay attention to the people around you or the people that were around the incident. Like, that's what matters, because you never know who's seen what. Right. And, you know, they've solved cases where somebody has came forward with, like, something they thought was suspicious, like, 5 years ago, and it ended up helping, you know, the police actually catch a killer or whatever and crack a case. So, if you see anything, like, speak up. Like, anything that's suspicious, it's better to speak up and be wrong and everybody's fine, cool, it was just a mishap, than to not speak up and... somebody could be suffering, you know. Not saying it would be your fault, but you just never know. You know,
you could have stopped it though.
I mean, not necessarily. You don't. That's a little harsh.
let's not say it. Yeah, even that's so bad. They started searching for her like with aerial searches.
But even after all that, there was no luck in finding her, even till this day. And I don't know. Do you know what year the age progression picture was made?
Because
they did make an age progression picture of Sherry.
Let me see.
And it was 44 years later, I believe. And yeah, we'll go ahead and insert that right here so you can see it if you're looking on YouTube. Yeah, so her age progressed would be to 44 years old. And she looks like a school teacher, honestly.
Yeah, she does.
Like, she looks like she could easily blend in with anybody. So, yeah, that's what the age progression picture looks like. And that's kind of where her case ends, unfortunately. Yeah. There is a couple more, like, theories that we have. Right. Well, not that we have, but there are a couple more theories on the case and kind of, like, what happened, you know? Like, there's still more questions, of course. So, one of those theories was throughout the month after she went missing, there had been... Oh, also significant happenings. So, this is a significant happening. Throughout the month after she went missing, there had been 3 reported sightings of her. The first reported sighting says she may have been seen near Street Stephen, Alabama, near Beatah Road. Am I saying that correct? Because that's pretty intense. Okay. Another sighting mentioned her at a truck stop with a man in Conley, Georgia, which was... Conley, Georgia is 205.4 miles away from Beatah, where she was previously seen. Correct? Or from Greensville?
Yeah, from Greensville.
Greensville. Yeah. So, from Greensville. The sighting noted that she called the man that accompanied her BJ. So, she was sighted with a man, and apparently he had a name. Each sighting mentioned that Sherry was with a man who was roughly 50 years old, tall and husky, and with a weathered complexion.
Yeah,
so kind of like an old, just rough, beat up face. Yeah,
like looking guy.
Yeah.
It's funny because it doesn't say whether he's like black or white or anything like that.
Right.
It says...
Just mysterious.
Yeah.
Her last appearance was said to be at a mall in New Orleans. And I don't believe there was any information on what year that was.
No, there wasn't.
But that's eerie to think about.
Because,
like, could she still be alive? Like, you just never know. It's always the, like, what ifs.
Right.
There have also been a few theories as to what happened. With the first theory being her being a runaway, which is common.
Yeah, it's kind of
even today, it's common.
Yeah. Things where you just like, yeah, that's the first thought. You just ran away.
Right. But not necessarily in this case. So, in 1984, the Department of Health and Human Services reported to Congress the number of runaway youth was more than 1 million.
Wow.
Which is hella high. Her mother, Betty, always insisted that she was a happy and content child. She stated that she had no reason to leave home, and Sherry was excited to carry out the plan she made on the day of her disappearance. So, she actually had plans to watch her favorite TV show and to go visit her grandma.
Normal kid stuff.
Yeah, things that you would be excited about, you know, at that age. By all accounts, she was the type of child to do what she was told, and she did not take any of her belongings when she headed into town that day. So, no signs of I'm leaving and not coming back or taking things of significance. She has not contacted her family at all throughout the decade she has been missing, which I can only imagine that's got to be so freaking hard.
That's got to be really
like,
hard.
We don't have kids, but...
Yeah.
Just that, like,
and then losing your kid for decades,
not and not knowing, like, that's the thing. You just don't know. It's unsolved.
4 decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and also her mother had even stated that, upon them saying there was more than 1 million runaway youth, her mother had stated that, you know, the chances of my child being like one in that 1 million is like 0 to none. Like that would not been Sherry.
Yeah, because so, she knew, you know, she knew her kid.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to go ahead and jump into the second theory?
And this one says she was taken by a stranger. Mm-hmm. So honestly, this one seems like the most likely of the theories because it doesn't take long to pull someone in your vehicle, you know? And she's a kid.
And it was 40 minutes before anybody would have been
Daddy
concerned.
Daddy daycare decided to show up.
I don't even want
to... Yeah.
I have, like... Were the police curious about him? You know?
Right. Does it make it make sense? And, you know, this says she could have been snatched from the Chevron station. Because she did go there to get...
That is possible. And gas stations are... problematic.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah.
Her mother stated that in 1984, vending machines did not give back change, which is a pretty interesting fact, because that would mean you would have to go and manually, like, get your change.
Right. But she couldn't get change from, like, paying? Or you have to go with exact change?
I think you have to go with exact change.
And she had a dollar, and I'm sure a soda was not a dollar back then.
Right.
Okay.
So, that, you know, that could have made her approach a stranger to ask for change, and the stranger may have, you know, taken advantage of her and just took her, which is sick.
Of course, yeah.
And with the unconfirmed sightings all supporting the theory, each account puts her with a man who looks around 50 years old with a weathered face and a tall and husky build. So there it is again, you know, that mysterious.
So everybody's seen the same thing. It's like reoccurring.
Right.
Sounds like a reoccurring. And it's crazy that, like, she's still not found, you know?
Right.
Like, all of that and still not enough.
Right. And looking deeper, you get into your third theory, which is she could have been killed by somebody she knew.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, you know, of course, we asked this question earlier. What happened to Raymond? Or, like,
that's the one I'm suspicious about. Yeah. But go ahead.
So, of course, he was the first person to be questioned,
mm-hmm,
since he was the last to see her, which makes sense because, okay, dude, what happened to her?
Yeah. That's a long time for.
Right. That is a very long time.
You to just be sitting there, so you're, like,
nonchalantly, like,
wasting time. And not being concerned.
Like, missing your kid. Like, I mean, I get that it's your stepkid, but still.
That doesn't change anything.
So, it says he cooperated with the authorities and answered any questions they had, but he refused to take the polygraph test, which is weird, because why not?
Like my little cousin Harmony would say, that's suspicious. Like, that's really suspicious. Yeah, I don't know. He just gives me bad vibes. Like, he's just too mysterious, and he seems very nonchalant. Right, but I don't know. I can't make assumptions. I don't know the dude, so.
But it doesn't that sit weird with you?
Yeah, it doesn't sit right.
And so, this even led the police to say that he was never a suspect in the case. And it gets even deeper because I guess Betty kind of backed him up in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said that he couldn't get over Sherry disappearing while she was with him.
Right.
Right.
So he did feel bad.
Yeah, he felt
maybe
terrible.
That was guilt.
Maybe, for whatever could have happened.
Right.
Sadly, though, in April of 2003, he passed away. I don't know exactly what from, or, you know.
Right. No details.
Yeah, there's really no details on that. But it says, while on his hospital bed, his last words to his wife were, "Betty, I wish I could go and get Sherry and bring her home to you, but I can't because I don't know where she is."
You feel like that was just a ploy for attention?
Yeah. Because, like, what could have happened?
Because, like, why?
Right.
You really had to go out with a bang, you know?
Right. What was the purpose of that? I don't know where she is, like.
Right, yeah, like nobody asked.
Right, do you really not know?
Yeah. Okay, guys, so that concludes episode 4, and that also concludes this case. This is kind of one of those ones where it just leaves you on the edge of your seat, because there's just a lot of open-ended questions and not a lot of evidence,
not too much going on.
You know, stuff to go off of, so. Let me know your questions down below. Definitely want to hear them.
You guys do your research and you get back to us. Tell us.
We did the research that we could and we found what we could. Right. There just isn't much information on this case. But this was the most notorious crime in Alabama. So that concludes the first episode to, I don't know what we should call this. The FNC, because 50 notorious crime.
Okay.
FNC series.
FNC series. You heard it here, guys.
The 50 Notorious Crime series.
Yes.
And we'll see you guys next week. And do you have anything else?
As far as this whole case goes, I just want people to know that keep an eye out for your friends and your family members. People do go missing. Weird things do happen. Sometimes your gut isn't wrong.
Yeah.
So.
And it's never a bad thing to be extra cautious or extra aware. Exactly. You know? The world's crazy these days, and it's good to be aware of your surroundings and to know what's going on around you. So, yeah. Everybody stay up and stay safe. And we'll catch you guys next week.
I've been your host, DJ.
And I've been your host, Sav.
Tune in next week to get
deeper than most.